Worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Welcome to St. John's. Hello. Say hello to one another in the Lord. Say hi. Got a few Sunday morning people here today. Must be getting ready for opening of bow season, right? Isn't that coming up? So, all right. Our worship today is legacy stewardship, continuing that, where we're talking about stewardship of our time and how we use that time for the Lord. It's time to plan is what this one is about. And specifically, the sermon is about the reason God heals you is to go about your business. All right. We begin our worship with our first hymn, which is Your Days and Ways to God Surrender. I don't know how familiar this one is. If you hear me going off key, well, then you can too. All right. God bless.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Tim Kuske will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture theme from Mark chapter 1, verses 29, 35, and 38, the reason Jesus heals you. Join us now in singing hymn number 806 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. We sing the Gloria. With you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all adversities that may happen to the body and all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. As we talk about our time that God has given us, we recognize that God owns that time, even our time. And that means he uses us at times to be a witness to him. And that's exactly what Job was, not only for the world in his faithfulness, but also for Satan. And he gave Satan a great display of godly faith. We read from Job chapter 1. There came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came into their midst. The Lord said to Satan, "Where you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming the earth and walking around on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a man who is blameless and upright, who fears God and turns away from evil." Satan answered the Lord, "Is it without cause that Job fears God? You have put a protective hedge around him and his household and everything that belongs to him, haven't you? You have blessed the work of his hands. His livestock has spread throughout the land. But just stretch out your hand and strike everything that is his, and he will certainly curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything that he has is in your hand, but you may not stretch out your hand against the man himself." So Satan left the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their oldest brother, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the female donkeys were grazing nearby. When the Sabaeans swooped down and took them away, they put the servants to death with the sword, and I am the only one left who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another servant came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the flocks and the servants and consumed them, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another servant came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and plundered the camels and took them away. They put the servants to death with the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another servant came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their oldest brother. Suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on the young people, and they died. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped. And then he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be blessed." In all this, Job did not sin or blame God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our psalm for today. I'm sure you've sung this one before. It's in your Psalter and 145b, page 784. We're singing Psalm 145, "I Will Praise Your Name Forever."
Thank you.
James ponders our time on earth, how he wants us to spend it, how God wants us to spend it. He makes it very clear that we really don't amount to much, and yet God loves each and every one of us. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, do business, make a profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Indeed, it is a mist that appears for a little while and then disappears. Instead, it is better for you to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live tomorrow and we will do this or that. But right now, you are boasting in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for the one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, this is a sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. We'll speak together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Alleluia. Our reading is from Mark chapter 1, the account of Jesus at Peter's house. They left the synagogue and went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick in bed, sick with a fever. Without delay, they told Jesus about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, when the sun had set, the people kept bringing to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. He healed many people who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons, but he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark and went out. He withdrew to a solitary place and was praying there. He told those searching for him, "Let's go somewhere else to the neighboring villages so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, "What God Ordains is Always Good."
Join us now in singing hymn number 844 in Christian Worship, "What God Ordains is Always Good."
Thank you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. We're going to be talking about a certain mother today, so I dug up an old thing that a Sunday school class answered. Sunday school class was asked some of the following questions, and these were their answers about their mothers. Can we go to the next slide? There we go. Why did God make mothers? The question was asked, and the answer was, to help us out of there when we were getting borned. She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is, mostly to clean the house. Uh-oh. Another question. What ingredients are mothers made of? The answer? God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Another question. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know, because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. Mom's got to do that. They do. Here's a fun one. What did mom need to know about your dad before she married him? Well, his last name. Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? All right. What does your mom do in her spare time? This one fits, ladies, doesn't it? The answer is, mothers don't do spare time. What's the difference between moms and dads? Ladies, you're going to love this one. The answer is, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicines. Mom work at work, and they work at home, and dads just go to work at work. All right. I think it's pretty clear that those children realize that their moms really do, and I'm going to use a different word, they really do serve their children, don't they? And their perspective was rather interesting. Probably some conversation that week piqued their interesting answers. And we get a little bit of a laugh out of them. But I think it's important to see that it's hardwired into really everyone's nature to serve in some way. And certainly in the lives of mothers. And we're going to see a mother here who really lived that. Let's take a look at our reading. This is the gospel lesson again. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from it. Jesus went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. Jesus told those searching for him, "Let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come." This has an interesting context, this particular section. It was on a Sabbath day. It was the worship day for the Jewish people. And when Jesus was at their worship day, he healed a man of demon possession, a boy, really, of demon possession, at the synagogue. And afterwards, he was invited to a friend's house, Simon Peter's house, for a Sabbath day of doing what you're supposed to do on a rest day, at least a rest in the Lord day, and that is contemplate on God. And when he got there, he was told that Simon's mother-in-law had a fever. I don't think this was anywhere near a demon possession, but the Lord went to her, cared for her, grabbed her by the hand and said, "Come on, get up." And immediately she was well enough to enjoy serving those who had come. It's a neat picture, and there's some really interesting details here that we need to take a look at. And we're asking the question, why does God give me health? Why does God heal me? Why does he keep me healthy? Well, we get a first lesson from Christ's attention, and then we get another lesson from when Jesus went away. Let's take a look. Christ is concerned about the health of everyone. Look how beautifully Mark puts it. You know, Jesus is always seen in Mark especially just taking someone by the hand, going personally to that person, and doing exactly what that person needs. It's just a wonderful little book, and I hope you see that in there. Mark often emphasizes what Jesus does rather than what he says, and we see it here. But what happened? A miracle. The fever left Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she did what came naturally. She served. You ever remember going over to your friends' houses and how their mom treated you instead of their own son or daughter? You know? The one who came in that was the guest got spoiled. I'm sure Jesus got extra spoiled this time, right? She wanted to serve the one who had blessed her and those who came with him. Right? You see, God healed her. Christ healed her. First of all, to show his disciples his own power and reassure them of what he was able to do. This was relatively early in his ministry. And here they got to see it up close and personal. It wasn't one that was out there in public. It wasn't to impress the people around. It was just to reassure those guys that Jesus had that power, that he has life and death in his hands, and how important that is for us to understand when we think about Jesus who gave his life for us. You know? And so God used this woman to do something for God, when you really think about it. And I don't think she was upset about that. God allowed this illness to come, just as he allowed those tragedies to happen to Job, and he used those people to teach a lesson to others. God used her time. And it's important for us to realize that our times are in God's hands as well, and that God expects us to teach the lessons of time for others. God expects us to use our time to serve others. The first ones he gives us are our own family to serve. But he also asks us to serve fellow Christians. Also asks us to serve people who are our enemies, in fact. God wants us to serve in his kingdom. I'm thrilled to hear that you are serving the kingdom. I know of people who are inviting their friends and neighbors here. God's bringing more people to Christ through you and your simple invitations. More and more people are becoming interested in God's teachings, in the scriptures. Your time, your voice, your invitations matter. Invite people. Light them over to find healing from Jesus. Now, there's an interesting interlude here. I know what I do on Sunday afternoons. I go and sit in front of the tube, and I turn on, I'm going to tease you a little bit, I turn on my Lions. Yes, I'm from Michigan. And then I fall asleep and watch the game behind my lids, right? A lot of guys do that, don't they? We're only there watching green and gold, right? Okay. Well, in this day, it wasn't the Jerusalem Goliaths playing the Gaza Greyhounds on TV, because they didn't have TVs. They didn't have football. But they had the time to go over, like they did a little later, but they didn't take that time to go over to see Jesus. They did it later. What's going on here? Well, I think it's important to kind of explain the context here. Their tradition, and okay, it's a good tradition if it's used well, was to, on that Sabbath day, only walk to the synagogue, the church, and walk back home. And that's as far as you could go on a Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day went from 6 at night to the next 6 at night. Well, sundown at night. All right? But all these people saw Jesus cure that young man of his demon. They saw him do something amazing, and you can imagine what they went home thinking. They said, boy, could they help out my Aunt Gertie? Could he help my mom, my dad? How about my boy who just busted his leg? You know, they were waiting by the door. But yet they still respected their Sabbath day. I think that's interesting too. It gave Jesus a little time to rest himself, but nonetheless, they were thinking about their spiritual lives. We'll talk more about that a little later. But they followed that tradition. But as soon as the sun went down, what did they all do? They all hustled out of their houses. That sun was down, and they grabbed on to, carried Grandpa on over, and Aunt Gertie was carried in a chair, and the boy they had to put on a stretcher, and who knows what else. And they all came to Peter's house. And what did Jesus do? He kept on healing these people that evening. His evening went on and on in service to his kingdom. I think it's important for us to see that Jesus cares for our health. Jesus cares for how we are, and he sends us doctors and nurses in this day and age, true. That's his blessing as much as anybody's. And we also recognize that he can do things miraculously like this. But now the question is, once God has healed us, once God has given us this peace, are we willing to serve him with our experiences? Are we willing to serve him with what God has done for me? I love telling the story of a guy I met back at Sheboygan when I was there. Hope you'll laugh a little bit at the end. And in the middle, too. So this couple came to church that morning, and they said, well, we weren't supposed to be here. We were supposed to be up north. And on the way out of church, the wife was walking out, and she had to sit down before she even got out the middle doors. And she wasn't feeling well. So husband, who was deaf to start with, and it was one of these here's he and here's she kind of things. And he's, you know, concerned about her. Are you okay? You know, and he's deaf, so he's saying, are you okay? So everybody in church knew this was going on. She gets up, feeling a little embarrassed. She goes out the door, and there's another seat there. She has to sit down again. She's just really tired. Not good. Not good. They get out to the car, and he says, should I drive? Should I take you to the hospital? You drive like a maniac. I'm going to drive, she says. She tries to get in the driver's door, and she's exhausted. And she says, no, you drive. So he drove her over to the hospital. This woman was a nurse. She told the doctor every medicine she had, and then the heart attack hit. It was the kind of heart attack that people die from because there's two arteries that go across your heart, and the heart attack hit here, above those two arteries. This gentleman, after the whole ordeal of getting a life flight to Green Bay and then the surgery, he's deaf, right? And there he is in the waiting room after a successful surgery, and the doctor walks in and he says, the Lord saved my wife. The Lord did this. I really appreciate that guy. He knew what God did. You know why they stayed that weekend? Because they had a water leak in their water heater. God made a, you know, hard thing to deal with happen, so that they stayed home. So they were less than a mile from the hospital. Amazing. God knows our times. And he asks us to serve, and I hope you do it naturally, just like that man did, loving his Lord with everything. But now, that's why Christ heals us, to serve others. But I think there's something more that needs to be said here. Jesus, the next morning, he's tired, I'm sure. He gets up early, he goes and he prays, which he does on a regular basis. He's given a great example to all of us. Here, the Son of God, who has a direct connection to God, goes and prays. You ought to pray more. I don't care how much you pray, you ought to pray more. All right? God will listen to your prayers. Anyway, they go looking for him. And he says, you know what? Let's take off from here. Everybody in town is looking for him. Now they want him to look at the toenails. And now they want him to look at, oh, I got a little pinky toe that's hurting. You know, and he says, okay, I've helped enough. I need to go and do the real healing. I got to go and preach the gospel. Jesus was the Messiah. His call was to much more than one place, like a pastor has a call to, you know, Baraboo. All right? And he was to go into all the world, and that's what he was attempting to do, right? To make that message build and grow strong, and that's what he needed to do. Let's go to another place. He left those people. Now, a lot of them had seen two things. They heard Jesus preaching, and they saw the miracles that backed up what he preached. It seems that the people at the synagogue knew and loved him, and they knew their scriptures. And now, he leaves them. Why do you think he did it? He did it because he knew they had everything they needed. They had some, you know, clergy who had studied more to help out those who were a little weaker in their knowledge to grow in the Word. And now he left them to take care of their own souls. Here is one of our major jobs as God's people. God, you know, it's kind of like raising a 1-year-old when it's trying to walk, right? And you get there and you get him up on his feet. And the first 15 times, what does he do? He hits his bottom. He sits his down and he hits his bottom. Sometimes he falls face forward and this, that, and the other. It just is. But you keep on helping, don't you? But there comes a time when he's across the room, you say, come on. Come on over here. You push him a little bit to have him come. This is what God is doing for us. This is what I want to do for you. How many times have I told you, get yourself if you got a cell phone, get yourself a Bible on your phone, right? Get to know that Bible. Grow with it. Know how to use it. Know your books of the Bible so that you can know him better. So that in him you can grow and receive the food, the life-giving and spiritual food that God provides. That you can receive what he wants us to have. That we can learn to take care of our own souls and grow in him. I want you to take your time to understand him better and his God-given ability, in your own God-given ability to serve others. I want you to grow so much that I don't have to work for you anymore, but I'm going to work with the ones who you brought in, who need to know more, who need to know the basics, need to know the tough questions for them. I want you to have maturity. I want you to have joyful spiritual lives connected to Christ himself and not through some crutch like Pastor Kuski. I can't carry you all right? And I know I don't carry you. I'm just giving you a hard time. But you got to stand on your own with the Lord, and he will still be there, even though he goes a little way away to pray. You know who your God is. He is always with us and has promised to be with us. He is never far away, and he's even closer in the scriptures. Dear people of God, what a lesson he gives us in his absence when we can't see him. Dear people, stand on your own two feet and trust that God will be there if there's difficult times. Exercise that faith, exercise your knowledge, and grow in your ability to serve others. Grow in knowledge of God. Be his disciple. And in that way, we emulate exactly what Jesus did. We all know that story of Jesus when he's 12 years old. Where did he get lost? In the temple, studying with the smart guys, right? Okay, Jesus had a little bit of an advantage at 12 years old. He's the one who wrote the scriptures, so he knew it was in there. But it makes it pretty clear that he had to learn it as he grew up because he was also a human being. So he would stand on his own two feet, just like any human being, and you can do the same. Find your love for God. Be that disciple. Recognize that God uses your time, your efforts, your days to serve him and his kingdom, just like he used Jesus. And even though we always, we probably fall a little short. We don't pray enough. We don't read enough. Remember that your God sent his son to pay for those sins too. And then try again. Plan your spiritual life and plan to be his disciple. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us our time. And what a privilege and a gift it is to enjoy this life and to have all the things that make life wonderful. And yet you keep on giving. Lord God, bless and encourage us in our time to use it wisely, that we don't have to spend every minute of it speaking God's word, but rejoicing in the creation you gave. Help us to remember you every moment of our lives without sounding to be, you know, too weird in our world. But dear Lord, also bless us that we can have time to help others, to speak about you, to witness to you, bring and put before us friends, neighbors who need to hear the comfort that only you can give. Lord God, you have served us. You came to serve and not to be served, but to give your life as a ransom for many. And you gave your whole time while you were here for us. Bless us in serving you. Bless our times, that at this time people may come to see your grace and mercy, that they may see the stark choice between the ways of the world and the joys of living in you. Bless us personally to serve you. Lord, we don't want to happen to us what happened to Job. Certainly not. But if things like that happen, dear Lord, do use us and focus us on you and your grace and the eternity that you promise. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our offering is at the box on the way in and out. We continue with the sacrament. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we glorify and honor you, O God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In your name we pray the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
For the remission of all your sins. for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, eat. This is Christ's body, given for you. Take, drink, the blood of Christ, poured out for you, for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is Christ's blood, shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. Amen. I made his true body and true blood. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you into the life of our lives. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Whenever we eat this bread, drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it, you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit.
But one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn. The will of God is always best.
Hymn number 838 in Christian worship, hymn 838.
Amen.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station Max FM, 740 a.m. of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in three-year-old preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television program today was produced by Jed Strobel. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with